Kara, thank you for reading that for us. Do keep hold of that service sheet that reading came from. We'll be thinking a little bit about that over the next few minutes as we consider what it is that we are celebrating at this Christmas time. We've just seen, haven't we, the events of that very first Christmas, wonderfully portrayed by Mary and the angel Gabriel and the animals and the shepherds and the sheep. More angels, wise men. Great to see that. They are events that really happened in a real place, at a real point in history. And yet they're events, I think, that we easily forget amidst all the tinsel and the turkeys and the trees at Christmas time. And if they're events that can slip from our mind, then the significance behind them is something we think about even less. We celebrate the season. We might remember the stable. I think we often forget the significance. And yet the complete opposite is true in this account from Matthew's Gospel. It's the opposite way up. You see, there are no parties or presents in sight. Instead, in verse 19, there's talk of a quiet divorce to spare a young girl's shame. And that angel who appeared to Joseph, he didn't appear in a blaze of glory in the sky for all to see. He appeared quietly, privately, in a dream. No glitz, no glamour. And then the central point of the nativity, it almost passes by. It almost passes by unannounced. Look with me at verse 25. It's a blink and you miss it moment. But he, that is Joseph, he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. The crucial detail in a blink of an eye is gone. You see, in this account of Jesus' birth, it's not about fun and festivities. Matthew's focus isn't even really on the events themselves. It's clear they really happened. It's clear that Matthew believed that. But the details are sparse, aren't they? And the reason for that is what Matthew really wants us to think about, what he's really keen on us seeing, is the meaning behind Jesus' birth, the significance of it. And he does that by drawing our attention to two names in this passage. The first one, unsurprisingly, is Jesus. That's a good name for him to draw our attention to. It's the name that the angel tells Joseph to give to Mary's son. Halfway through verse 21, we see that, where he says, you are to give him the name Jesus. And this name is a significant name because it means God saves. Jesus means God saves. And that's a fact that wasn't lost on the angel. He goes on in verse 21, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He will save their people from their sins. Jesus, the baby in the manger, was to be a saviour. When we hear of that baby referred to as someone who will be a saviour, it's easy, I think, for us not to join the dots, particularly when we read that he's a saviour of his people. We can think that it's nothing to do with us. We exclude ourselves from the picture. We think, I don't need saving. I'm a decent enough bloke. And yet the Bible is very clear that we do. I do, you do. We all need saving because of our sin. Now, when we hear that short word, sin, we often think of the bad things we do or the things that other people think are bad. But actually, behind that word, behind those actions, is an attitude to God. An attitude that wants God on our terms and not his terms. An attitude that sees the God who loves and cares for us, the God who made us and sustains us, who keeps us going, and yet ignores him or pushes him to the margins of our lives. And yet, the wondrous gift of Christmas is that the baby born in a manger will be a saviour. He will be a saviour, as verse 21 tells us, because him being born was not enough. Him being born was not enough. You see, he had to live a life of perfect obedience to God. He had to die on a cross that very first Easter to pay for the penalty for sins. Jesus being born wasn't enough for him to be a saviour, but he did do those things. He is a saviour. The first name Matthew draws our attention to, Jesus. The second name, Emmanuel, which verse 23 tells us means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Because Jesus saves people from their sins, from the things that separate us from God, he can be Emmanuel, he can be God with us. Now, if it's easy for us to think that we don't need saving, then it's easy to think that all is well between us and God. And so when we hear this, when we hear God is with us, we say, well, of course he is. Of course he is. And yet Matthew won't let us think like that, because it's clear that if Jesus is not our saviour, then God is not with us. In fact, God is distant, unknown even. God is apart from us. But if we know Jesus as our Saviour, if we are one of his people, then God is with us. He's with us in the good times and the bad times. He's with us when all is going well and when life is a complete mess. No wonder that message of those Christmas angels of which we've been singing is great glad tidings. That God has come to us to abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. So let me, with Matthew, encourage you this Christmas time not to stop at the fun. Of course, enjoy yourselves, but don't stop there. Remember what happened, but in fact, don't stop there either. Remember why those things happened. The reason for the season, a saviour who is Emmanuel. As I finish, let me suggest three ways in which you could do that. One thing for all of us, one thing for the children, one thing for the adults. You should have been given on your way in one of our St. Peter's Christmas cards, which on the inside cover just has details of all the special events that are happening this Christmas time. It would be great to see you at another one. It's great to have you here this morning. You'd be very welcome to join us at any of these. The carols by candlelight would be particularly appropriate for the adults in the evening. And then on the 24th, on Christmas Eve, there's a carols around the tree, which would be great for those of us with young children. Do come along to another one of our Christmas services. We'd love to see you. Secondly, something for the children. You should have found one of these in your service sheets. Some fun little puzzles to think about the first Christmas, some codes to crack. If you're stuck for something to do this afternoon with your kids, why not dig this up and have a look at it? And then thirdly, for the adults among us, it's, of course, I guess, understandable we'll be focusing on Jesus' birth this morning. It is, after all, the run-up to Christmas. And yet it doesn't stop there. As I mentioned, he lived a life. He died on the cross. He was raised again to life. And as we see those things, as we think about those things, we see how he is that Saviour, how he is Emmanuel, God with us. And so if that's something you'd like to think more about, there are some copies of a little book called Luke. A man, Luke, compiled an account of Jesus' life from eyewitnesses and ear witnesses stacked by the door. Do feel very free to grab one of those, to take it away and read it at this Christmas time. That would be a great thing to do. Before I hand back to Ru, let me lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the events of that very first Christmas, and thank you that we can have great fun at celebrating them this year. Pray that you'd help us not to stop there, though, that we might remember the stable, but also the significance of the stable. Pray that you would help us to know that Jesus is a Saviour who is God with us. Amen.